All right, everybody. This is Efia Nwangaza. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Nwangaza.
Nwangaza. And she is the general manager of WMXP, a low-power station in Greenville, South Carolina. Efia, the way we're doing this is we actually added 5 minutes to each session after the first one. We're going to do up to 5 minutes for you to introduce yourself. And some of the board members didn't get your statement via email because I just emailed it out this morning. So if you want to take a couple extra minutes on that, you can. And then we'll have about 15 minutes of questions for you. And then hopefully, if there's time, about 5 minutes for you to ask whatever burning question you have of us before we move on. And I'll tell you now what I've told the others at the end, which is the process is going to be on Wednesday. We're going to need to pass a special rule of order on the voting because we're doing this voting earlier than we have in the past so that the candidates can be seated at the same time as the other candidates. We have 7 candidates for 2 seats, and our bylaws require single transferable votes. So that'll take about 3 days to do a balloting, a couple days to count. So you'll hear in about a week and a half to 2 weeks from us. And if you're one of the 2 selected, then Foundation personnel will contact you to arrange your travel to the Pacifica National Board meeting in New York City or in New York and Byron's from January 25th to the 27th. So with that, if you could introduce yourself, and once you're done with your opening statement, we'll go to questions.
Okay. Well, excuse me. As some of you already know, my name is Efia Nwangaza. And I am the founder and general manager of WMXP-LP, community radio station in Greenville, South Carolina, which grows out of a larger effort, which is the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement for Self-Determination, and the Malcolm X Center for Self-Determination, which is a volunteer grassroots community-based action center. And we all operate under the African American Institute for Policy Studies and Planning, the object being to create a vehicle which allows the community to get together and on a regular basis and to assess the policies and practices that are directly impacting the community and the community deciding what it can or must do in response to it using a human rights framework as the underlying principles for the actions that we take. The radio station WMXP-LP allows us to do is to amplify the voice of the activists and to give voice to those who are ordinarily voiceless and underserved in mass communication. I think. Can you all hear me?
I can hear you quite well. Can other people hear her as well as I can? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. They're all on, so you know, Efia, most of them are on mute so that we don't get noise. So sometimes it takes a delay.
Okay. Yeah, my phone started beeping low charge, so I thought maybe it had died. I grew up with radio. So, my parents were Garveyites and used radio to spread what was what they referred to as the movement, which was Christian religious movement, and they developed a worldwide radio network. Being committed to the theory that 144,000 people had to be saved and that people having knowledge had of the gospel, as they would put it, had the duty to spread the word. And, of course, radio was the most, in some ways, remains the most effective way of touching lots of people, and at significantly reduced cost. So though the founders of the organization only had third and fourth grade educations, and some, as in the case of my parents, seventh and eighth grade educations, they were able to figure this out and were quite successful in building an international radio network, which the organization survived the founders and is the initial organizing members, and continues to function today. So it was in that context that I became exposed to radio, and that I learned and continue to appreciate the power of radio. My resume, I've been an activist all my life, first in short order through the church, then at going into my teens, working first with the NAACP and then with the Northern Student Movement, and ultimately with Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, serving at the National Office in Atlanta and then the Atlanta Project, which drafted the theoretical underpinnings for SNCC's position on Black self-determination, popularized by Kwame Ture of Stokely Carmichael in the phrase Black Power, along with other positions that SNCC later took around various issues, including the war against Vietnam and its position on women's rights. I have a bit of a cold, so it's beginning to catch up with me at the end of the day. Excuse me. Then, of course, working with a broad range of other organizations, from the founding of the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement to Amnesty International, National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America, to serving two terms on the National Steering Committee for United for Peace and Justice, represented not in our name. So I have, I'm a lifelong human rights activist. And
Would you like to take a little break and get a drink of water? Because I am hearing your voice failing.
Oh, okay. If you could just give me a minute. Thank you.
Yeah, take your time. Take a deep breath. We don't want you. We've had this terrible experience of having incredible candidates like yourselves, and this, and then we lose them because they get sick or, you know, worse. So we want you to take care of yourself.
Okay. Hold on. If you could just hold on for a minute.
Yeah,
actually.
Sure. No worries. Take your time. People can be thinking of what questions they want to ask, so we save a little time when that part comes. Lydia, are you on the call? Were you able to call back in? I'll take that as a no.
Hello?
Yeah, you feeling a little better?
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Okay. If you want to go ahead, or we could go straight into questions, whatever you want to.
Well, I think I could probably, in terms of the efficiency of time, provide more information through responding to questions, and that it be more focused as a result
Great.
Of that.
Okay, beautiful. So if anybody would like to ask a few questions, it's open to that.
I have my standard question.
Me too, Wendy.
Okay, Chandra and then Wendy.
Hi, this is Chandra Houtman, KPFA Berkeley. I'd like to ask you about your familiarity with the Pacifica Foundation and its board. And
well,
I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you. Pacifica has been like a part of the, I don't want to say the soundtrack of my adult life, but in a lot of ways it has. I went to law school at Golden Gate, which brought me most in contact with Pacifica on a continuous basis, and so it and the programming that was closest to my own political leanings and my own taste was represented in the local station. I have some contact, had some contact with other people who have been on the Pacifica board through movement work, Leslie Kagan, of course, and then a couple other people whose names escape me at the moment who have had long-standing relationships with Pacifica. And my work with them was through civil rights work, SDLC, ethnic relationships over the years. Then, of course, WBAI out of New York represents another strain of and my contact with Pacifica. So I have a long-standing awareness, I guess is the best way of putting it, of the existence of Pacifica and its commitment to community service.
Great. Wendy?
Hi, I'm playing this role tonight where I just want to make sure I'm Wendy Schrell, from director from KPFT Houston. And I'll just throw in that I am one of the board members of Pacifica that I think looks at the network as a whole first. So I just wanted to make sure that you understand the commitment of time that is involved in dealing with us. And so what we have been doing for the last several months is that the Pacifica National Board has a meeting every Friday. Well, I'm sorry, not every Friday night. One Friday night a month, once a month, which has been held on Friday nights. It doesn't have to always be that way. And you, as a person, a member of the board, might vote to have it on a different day than Friday nights. But there have been meetings once a month on some night a week where the meeting lasts from, say, 8 o'clock Eastern time until perhaps 1 a.m. or even later. And then there are also 4 in-person meetings per year where you'll be expected to travel to the different signal areas to have a meeting that is, we've come so used to it that we don't think of it as crazy, but it's just like it's like a Friday night from 7 to 10, and then Saturday all day, and Sunday well into the day. And I just want to make sure that you understand that. Do you think that would be a problem for you?
I do not think that would be a problem for me. That is my
experience with national organizations, the standard structure and process, meeting process. So it would not be anything that's new for me.
Excellent. One thing I left out, though, so I hope you would read the emails in between, too. So, excellent. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, while we're waiting for people to pop off mute, I'll ask my own question.
Yeah, Margaret.
Go ahead, Margaret.
Hi, welcome. I'm Margaret Prescott from KPFK in Southern California, and really interested to hear your background in the Black movement, which myself and I think other people, you know, involved in Pacifica have been part of. We're sort of, you know, cut our political teeth in. And one question I had for you, knowing the constituency as you explained in, you know, your earlier presentation, has to do with your views on outreach, in particular to communities who are underrepresented, and, you know, what your views are, or what do you think your contribution to Pacifica could be in helping us to work on that, because that's an area that is a real concern and a bit of a weakness, is my personal view, in Pacifica.
Well, I think my motto is that communications, radio in particular, is a lifeline and not a toy, nor is it a commodity. And in light of the fact that communities of color, generally in the Black community in particular, have fewer vehicles now than were available during the height of lawful segregation in this country, a concerted, conscientious effort has to be made to access and to bring those communities forward and into the radio community. As the quality of life in this country deteriorates, as the quality of what passes for democracy in this country deteriorates, it requires that every effort is made to not only give, create a space where Black people and other people of color can participate in the radio community, but that it is a meaningful organizing and education tool that empowers people to address those issues that negatively impact our communities individually and collectively. And that's why the Malcolm X Center for Self-Determination in Greenville, South Carolina, has worked for the past 8 years to get a station, to get a license, and to launch a station which serves that primary purpose. And that's why I talked about when, from the in my initial comments about growing up with radio and recognizing the power of radio and the transformative, I was going to say nature, but it doesn't have to be by nature, but certainly the transformative potential that radio has. So I'm entirely committed to outreach into communities of color and making sure that, to the extent that publicly funded, publicly assisted systems are in existence, that they meet the needs of those communities.
Okay, we have about just over 5 minutes left. I heard somebody else who wanted to ask a question.
Lonnie.
Rob.
I'll go to board members first. Lonnie's our CFO, so I'm going to go to Rob first and then to Lonnie. Go ahead, Rob.
Thanks, Sophia. This is Rob Robinson from WPFW in Washington, D.C. And I want to ask you a question. Simply, as a Pacifica National Board member, based on your experience, what would you like to accomplish? What would you like to see accomplished within the Pacifica Network as a member of the board? And what would you like to do for the affiliates or the affiliate program? It can be anything that reflects your desires and goals.
First of all, I have to thank the Pacifica staff and Ursula in particular, who have been very supportive and very responsive to the WMXP. They were like right there when we launched and provided us with feed, and Pacifica came to Greenville, and I apologize that I don't remember her name, and not only helped to run wire and solder and climb up on the roof and all of that, but also to help the community to understand what Pacifica is and why it's important that we, meaning the Greenville community, be linked to the national radio community. And that would be an area that I am particularly interested in, because the isolation of small communities, rural and quasi-rural communities, being lost or alienated from the larger political body, alienated from the larger information community, and radio can break that isolation. So I would really be looking at Pacifica in strengthening its ability to break the isolation of smaller communities and making sure that the resources, the phenomenal resources that are available to, from Pacifica, are made known and accessible to those outlying communities, especially as it relates to program content.
Thank you. Lonnie.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Were you associated with Not in Our Name Project?
Yes, I was.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. And you were at a United for Peace conference some time ago. I seem to have a connection there.
I served two terms on the UFPJ's National Steering Committee, representing Not in Our Name.
Yes.
I've attended several grassroots network or community radio conferences, one in New Hampshire, but the first one was years and years ago, was in Texas. In fact, it was before the Seattle WTO conference.
Maybe there was one in Chicago, too. I think that might have been the one. Well, anyway, I just wanted to see if you were the same person. So anyway.
Was that it, Lonnie?
Yes.
Okay. I have one question, which is, we're at a state in our history where we have a new set of bylaws that are ambiguous in many ways as to implementing policies, procedures, the rest of it. We're dealing with relationships within boards and between boards, between governance bodies and between governance and management. And so I just wanted to know your thoughts about your willingness to spend, my own view is that a lot of time needs to be spent fleshing those things out so that when issues where we disagree politically come up, we have some procedural cohesion and agreements. We really need that sort of detailed level work, in my opinion. And I was wondering if you could comment on your own thoughts about that kind of work within a national organization and apropos the value of your time.
Well, I agree with you. First of all, because it means that we can operate on the basis of principles as opposed to personalities, which I think is always healthier for the organization and for institution building, which is critical for the progressive community, so that we know that Pacifica and the Pacificas in our community will continue to exist once we've gone on. Secondly, I think it's important because it allows for the creation of models or standards that affiliates and others associated, with the organization or looking for democratic and transparent to look at for guidance, if not for adoption. So I agree with you that that's essential.
Thank you. Well, we're just about at time, but I wanted to give you a chance to ask of us any question that any of this discussion might have raised with you, and we'll have time for a quick answer from someone on the board who might want to answer, and then we'll have to go to our next interview.
Excuse me. I want to thank you all for the opportunity, and I'm quite honored to be considered. I certainly hope that, obviously, that I would be elected, and if it's not so presumptuous, is there a kind of flavor, for lack of a better term, that that you all are looking for? Like, are you looking for geographical or background, gender, those kinds of things in order to ensure that the board reflects the total national community?
I'll ask Bob to answer that. Bob, are you on the line?
Yes.
This is LeVar, and also I'd like to answer.
Okay.
Well, I think that question probably has as many answers as there are board members. There's, 22 people with different philosophies. But I'm sure the one thing I think is a safe statement is that everyone on this board does see the importance of diversity in all respects to be present on the board. How that pans out in the particular decisions on this matter, that's, I think everyone would have their own perspective on it. Certainly a priority for me, I can say that.
LeVar?
Oh, thank you very much. My name is LeVar Williams. I'm with KPFA in Berkeley, and I'm also the treasurer of the board. So in terms of I would be looking for someone with financial experience, a person who has been involved in planning and budget. So if you just briefly, I had to step away for a minute. I had another call. But I'm out of town, let me explain, that's why. And I'm in D.C. So if you could just tell me briefly the experience that you have with planning and budgets.
Well, I have a broad range of experience with planning and budgets in addition to running the African American Institute for Policy Studies and Planning, which is a volunteer grassroots think tank. We have to raise money to maintain it, and while it's a small entity and it's done on event basis, we have done it consistently for the past 15 years. In organizations where I've been a part of the organization itself, or other organizations than a member, as opposed to being responsible for the direct management. That experience has ranged from serving on the board of the local Girl Scout Council, which I did for like 10 years, and that included raising funds for building the council offices, other kinds of projects that, in fact, they just completed an effort with the local branch of the Urban League and changing directors and making up for a better than $2 million deficit generated by the outgoing director.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you very much. And that takes us actually past time. So I just want to say I'm sure I speak for the whole board when we said we're honored for that you would be willing to submit your application with us. And we will be in contact with you. As I said, it'll take about a week and a half or maybe a day or two more for us to complete our own process. And then we'll be contacting you.
Thank you. It's my honor.
Ours too. Thanks for all your work, a lifetime of work. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. So next person up is Brian Sherman from WRFG in Atlanta. I will be back in about a minute.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. We have Brian Sherman from WRFG in Atlanta, Georgia, present. The way we're doing this, Brian, is we're leaving you about 5 minutes to start, up to 5 minutes to make an opening statement, if you like. Then we'll ask you questions for about 15 minutes. And hopefully there'll be time at the end. We've added a few minutes to each interview for you to ask us any questions that the interview might have raised or that you might have for us. That gets iffy because people always take a little longer than you expect. But we're given 25 minutes total to each candidate. And so the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Okay. May I ask who is listening besides you?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We have about... right now, I think we have about a dozen of our 22 board members. This interview is being recorded and will be posted where board members can listen to it. So all 22 of our board members, which comprises three listener-elected local board members and one staff-elected local board member from each of our five Signal Area radio stations, along with two affiliate directors.
Right. I have what I think is an up-to-date list in front of me.
And our CFO is also on the line.
Okay. That's Lonnie Hicks?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So the floor is yours.
Okay. Can I ask a question first?
Go ahead.
How long have most of you been on the board?
Well, I'll answer quickly rather than going around and asking.
Right, right.
But I've been on, I and several other people have been on 4 years. We have several members who have been on three, and I think the majority have been on one or two.
Okay, so there is a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the board, which is something I kind of inferred. I've been reading and listening to people talk about, you know, what's been going on with Pacifica for years and years. And, of course, I have in front of me is this accurate that Nicole Sawaya, am I pronouncing her name correctly, that she quit?
We're right now in the we are in a process of dealing with issues having to do with the ED. We'll be making a statement. Our rules don't permit us to talk about
executive session
stuff without an agreement by the board. And after these interviews, we're going into executive session. So we'll be making some statements about that in the coming days.
Okay, I understand that. Let me just say a little bit then where I'm coming from at WRFG. We've just had an exciting week. We finally have raised enough money. We've moved our transmitter, and it's estimated that we're going to reach between two and three times as many people as we had, in the previous several years. We've been in serious, I won't say financial trouble, but let's say our finances are very low, and we have only two full-time employees. Iban Dooley, I'm sure most of you remember Iban, who was part of PNB until he suddenly died, was our third employee, and we don't have enough money to have replaced him. And the reason I mention that is, one of the things about WRFG, and I think from what I gather most of the affiliates, is that we don't have anybody on the air who gets paid for being on the air, so our budgets are a lot less. And I sort of want to look at Pacifica and see how you do things, whether I'm selected for the board or not. I'm curious about that. We also don't have an executive director or a general manager at WRFG. We have a station administrator, but policy is made by the board and by volunteer committees, a program committee and an operations committee. So, we don't rely, we found from our history that relying on one executive director or one general manager. We've never been able to find a person who could do everything that a general manager would be expected to do, the technical, the program, the fundraising, the managerial, the personnel, the promotion, and the like. And so I bring that expertise and that experience to Pacifica, and I had a lot to do with restructuring the organization at WRFG. I was chair of the operations committee in 2000 when we did this restructuring, and I took some ideas from. Are you familiar? If you're familiar with the collective, the collective that runs WORT, that they have six. At least when I was there in 2000, they have six paid employees, and no one of them is in charge of the others. Although Norm Stockwell, who's been there for a long time, is sort of the eminence there. And so I have those models in mind, and perhaps, you know, that could be something I could contribute to PNB and to Pacifica generally, you know, if I'm chosen to be on the board. And I did write a little statement. Has that been distributed? Dave? Hello? Are you all there?
Yes, we're here.
Yes, we're here. Dave?
Oh, okay. Do you have my statement?
Sorry about that. I had myself on mute, so I wouldn't interrupt you, and I'm having trouble with my Bluetooth headset. Yeah, I distributed your statement to the full board several days ago.
Okay, I'm not going to add in. Okay, I'll take questions now, and then if there's time left and there's something I want to say, feel I should say, I'll say that afterwards.
Great. Okay. We've had three people who've asked the same question each time. So I'm just going to go to them directly, and we'll start with LaVarne.
Thank you. Actually, I didn't ask a question each time, but thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts with us and also to apply for this position on the board. We certainly appreciate that. I had just a general question about, in terms of finance and budgeting, and just briefly, you know, what your experience has been and maybe what size budgets that you've been involved in either developing or overseeing or making decisions about.
Okay, the main experience I've had, I've just finished a three-year term as treasurer of a professional association, the Association for Humanist Sociology, and that's my primary experience, you know, where I've been the person responsible for the finances of an organization.
What size budget was that?
Excuse me?
What size budget was that?
Oh, it was very small. It's about $25,000. It's just
The next, Chandra?
Hi, Brian. Chandra Houtman, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Chandra. How you doing?
Good. Good to hear you.
Yes.
I would like to ask you about your familiarity with the Pacifica Foundation and how the board operates.
Not a lot. You know, I followed the emails on the GRC listserv, you know, and the reorganization that took place after the taking back of Pacifica, you know, five or six, I don't remember how many years ago. I don't know a lot about how you work. I find it interesting that you are a collective in the sense that Pacifica is a network and it's more than the five individual stations, yet 20 of the 22 board members represent individual stations as opposed to something collective, and I'd be curious to see how that really works, but I really don't know. I don't have a lot of knowledge about that.
That dovetails, actually, while we're at it, with the question I was going to ask, which is a lot of the work that I think the board needs to do has to do with filling in questions of policies and procedures as relates to governance authority, how different governance bodies relate, how governance interacts with management, and indeed how management interacts with both the other sectors of management and staff. So there's a lot of organizational infrastructural work that's still required that sometimes gets sidelined because we have crises or immediate conflicts in which we have to make decisions where we don't always have a policy background or existing policy framework for dealing with it. I just wanted your thoughts on, you know, your own willingness and desire to spend time on those aspects of governance.
I think that when I'm honest about saying that I enjoy that kind of work and that I've made a lot of contributions to WRFG in that regard. you know, for example, as I said before, I was chair of the operations committee when we restructured WRFC, and I had a lot to do with designing the positions that emerged and the roles in those positions and thinking through the processes of the relationships among those positions. And for example, I was the person who said we have to be very clear that there are distinctions between directors and managers and administrators and coordinators. And I pointed out the different aspects of management that each of those four words indicates. And I said, let's make sure the titles are accurate. And I've insisted on that successfully at WRFG, you know, ever since that 2000 reorganization. So that is something I enjoy doing. And
right.
I would be happy to contribute a lot of energy and time to that.
Great, thank you. Wendy.
Hi, Brian. My name is Wendy Schrell. I'm from KPFT Houston.
Right, I know you from GIC listserv.
All right.
A lot of entertainment.
Well, don't tell anybody. But anyway, I'm also a member of the Pacifica National Board, and I've been asking this question of every candidate, so I just want to make sure that everybody gets this, and it's going to sound more like a statement, but it's actually a question.
Okay.
So the Pacifica National Board meets four times a year, where it's the PNB members are expected to spend what amounts to something like 36 hours straight of meetings in another city. You, of course, don't have to pay the expenses to get there, but once you're there, we can't afford to do anything but marathon meetings during that time. So there's four in-person national board meetings per year where you're expected to travel, and then there's also at least one meeting per month on the telephone, and these meetings per month on the telephone have been taking 4 and 5 hours in a row, and I just want to make sure that you're aware of that, and here's the question part. Can you do it?
Wendy, no problem. I have a lot of stamina. I have a lot of stamina, both for meetings and for what I love to do, which is walking. I have no scheduling problems. I'm retired. There's only a couple of things that occurred during the year which you know, are regular things that I would not be able to go to if I had to go to Pacifica meetings. So I'm fine. I happen to like all five of the cities that Pacifica, you know, that the meetings would take place in. So I'd look forward actually to going. We'd probably go up a couple of days early or stay a day or two late just to enjoy being in the city. And I have no problem sitting in meetings. I said I enjoy details. I like to see how things work. I like to see how things are put together. I'm good at taking notes and keeping track of things. So that's an easy one for me.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Other questions? And so, you know, there are people, everybody's on mute so that we don't disrupt. So you're speaking. So it sometimes takes a few seconds for I'll wait a second. And if I don't hear Bob, there you go.
No, it's Rob.
Rob. Go ahead,
you.
Rob.
Yeah, it's Brian Wright. Could you answer, as a member of the PNB, something specific that you would like to accomplish within the Pacifica Network, as well as something relating to the affiliates programs or the affiliate stations? Just something that you would like to leave behind as a testament to your directorship.
Okay, I'd like to see the end of all the warfare all the radio wars that take place in the station in the various stations. I'm aware of the factions at WBAI. I'm aware of the issue of the unpaid staff at KPFA. I'm aware of the issue of the general manager at KPFK. I'm not aware of any particular issue. You're at WPFW, is that correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, we all have our little issues.
Yeah, I'm just not aware
of
any
issues. Our local
issues
have not burst.
Asking whether you are the director from PFW.
I'm sorry, what?
I thought you were asking, is Rob from PFW?
Yes, that's what I asked.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I was just looking at the names. I'm just saying, I, of the five stations, although I was at I did go, you know, 20 years ago, I visited your old studio when you were closer to downtown. I knew you were moving out somewhere near Adams Morgan, but I don't really know that much about what goes on at WPFW. But as I said, I've been reading about this turmoil. It seems to me since before the Clintonistas took over, you know, briefly the Pacifica National Board, and I think, you know, some of my experience in the institutions I've been in can be brought to bear, in, you know, with some patience to work out some of those problems, and that would be something I would like to do, you know, if I had to say, you know, one thing I'd like to see occur as a result of, as mine being part of Pacifica. You asked about for the affiliates. I'd like to see the relationship between the affiliates representative and the Pacifica board to be more routinized in terms of the relationship between the representative and you know, the affiliates general, and that would be a matter of communication. And I think that would be relatively easy to do compared to the first the first task.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? While we're waiting for them to get off mute, can you comment on your experience with parliamentary procedure?
Other than the fact that I've been in organizations, I've never been the parliamentarian of an organization. But I will say this in my favor, that in several organizations, including the WRFG board, I'm often the one who people look to word the motions. For example, when I was in the Radical Caucus of the Southern Sociological Society, that was the first time, this was back in the 70s, that was the first time that I realized I had that particular talent. So that's the one thing I could contribute in terms of dealing with the parliamentary procedure. I mean, I know the rules of Robert's Rules of Order. I think in some cases they're a little bit too restrictive of free speech, but you know, they're easy enough to work with, and I'd have no problems with that. Does that answer your question, or do you want more about that?
I was exactly responsive to it. I just wanted to know some people who've operated in more grassroots social organizations or consensus-based stations, like you mentioned, WORT, they don't use Robert Rules, and they find that they have difficulty with things like expressing sentiment in motions or using procedure to get where they're trying to go, and so it was just about that.
Oh, okay.
Anybody else? Okay, well, not hearing an immediate question, I think you've covered quite a lot. Is there a question that you might have for us in the waning, I guess we have about 8 more minutes.
Yeah, how many other people are you interviewing?
We have 7 candidates. I might as well tell you that now. We have 7 candidates from all over the country, low-power affiliates and full-power affiliates. We have 2 affiliate seats. As I've listened to these interviews, I'm wishing that we could reduce the number of station board seats and increase the number of affiliates.
I agree.
There's 2 of them. And what we'll be doing on Wednesday, we'll be passing a special rule of order to allow us to hold the vote earlier than specified in the bylaws, so that we can respond to the affiliates' request to have these candidates seated at the first meeting of the year rather than the second.
Right.
So then on Wednesday we'll do that. We'll have one more interview that we have to complete then. And I think I said to you, we're recording these so every board member will have access to them before the vote, and then we'll post them publicly. And I probably should have said that beforehand, but in any case, we will be doing that. And but then we'll have about 3 days for the balloting. We need to do a single transferable voting to do the balloting. And so we should know in about a week and a half, possibly a couple days more, who the prevailing candidates are. And then we'll be contacting the other extremely qualified candidates who didn't get elected and letting them know. And the candidates who did get elected we'll be contacting to make arrangements for their travel to the national board meeting, and that's going to be held January 25th through 27th in the New York Signal area.
Oh, okay.
And in actually 1 year, we had three candidates. The top two were seated, and actually it was Ebon who passed away.
Right.
The remaining candidate was the effectively the alternate, and I suspect that the way we'll do this is we'll name the runners up as alternates for it. And on my as I listen to these interviews, you know, the qualifications and depths of experience and understanding of our affiliate candidates have been pretty breathtaking. So my mind's working already to try and figure out if we can form, like for example, on the affiliates committee. If we might have all of the candidates willing to serve on that so that they could still be involved with board work, because I think we could really benefit from it. So don't know if
I would certainly second that.
That's a great idea.
I'll bet we could get a unanimous board vote on that based on these interviews. So anyhow, that's the structure of it, and that's the timeline, too.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Fine.
Yes? Who said Dave?
Wasn't me.
Wendy said thank you, Brian.
Okay,
oh,
my pleasure.
It was
Thanks
really
for
great
meeting with us,
Brian. And we will be in touch with you soon.
Okay, and in one way or another, I look forward to, you know, if I'm not one of the two selected, certainly a task force or whatever would be, you know, something I'd be willing to work on.
Great. Thank you very, very much. We'll be in touch soon. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have one more person to interview tonight.
So let me just address. So it's my. So I am to hang up, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Sorry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We have one more person. That's Lori Taguma. Excuse me. We have Annie Haynes tonight. Lori Taguma, who's obviously already on our board, has not didn't respond to my request, so I for scheduling the interview. So I assume that means she's okay with us basing our decision on our pre-existing experience with her on the board this year. But if she wants to do an interview, we'll do that on Wednesday. And we also have John Murphy, who said that he's the general manager at WHUS in Storrs, Connecticut. He was traveling today with his family, something that's been planned for a long time. So he said he can make Wednesday for the makeup interview. The last interview is Annie Haynes, volunteer coordinator at KBOO in Portland. I'm going to call her, and I'll be back in a second. If you're going to say bad things about KBOO, get them out of your mouth in less than 30 seconds, because I'll be back in a minute.